And we have it here tonight. I hope you have your old King James Bible, whether it's a new old one or an old one. And please turn back tonight to Psalm 126. We preached on that this morning, and part two, as I promised, is this evening. I'm glad you're back, if you're back, to hear part two. You know, this morning we read the text verse on desiring to be restored to productivity for the Lord after being in captivity. The name of the message being From Captivity to Productivity. And we should want to bear much fruit for the Lord. I don't want to be a fruitless believer. I want to bear fruit. And the Bible says that God is glorified when you as a believer in the Lord bear much fruit and you prove to be a disciple. And this morning, we looked at going from captivity to productivity by the first point of by your past sight of it. Looking back to captivity, seeing how God delivered us out of captivity, seeing how God delivered Israel out of captivity. And we talked about that, and the captivity, one of the men tell me, which captivity was it that they were delivered from? Raise your hand if you know. Brother Matthew. Babylonian captivity. We talked about the Egyptian captivity. They were there for 430 years. How long were they in the Babylonian captivity, one of the men? 70 years in captivity. And it was prophesied that they would be delivered. And so how do you go from captivity to productivity? You look back at how God, by His grace and by His power, delivered Israel from captivity, delivered our church from captivity, and so on and so forth. And we saw how God, for our country, which has been in captivity, especially since the end of World War II, after we defeated Hitler, who tried to conquer the world by fascist, kinetic war globalism, and after he failed, globalists right away got Europe and the United States now to do the same thing that Hitler wanted, and that is through the United Nations become a one world government. And let me tell you, I'm against the United Nations. The United Nations will only work after every nation accepts Jesus Christ. And that's not going to happen until He comes back and sets up His kingdom. So you can realize the United Nations is a united group of people united against the Savior and by Satan. And that's what is happening. So our nation, ever since World War II, has been in captivity to these globalists. And they now have captured the spy agencies, the CIA, the FBI, the leadership of these agencies. Not every one that works for them, but the leadership. And they are now turning it against the people, turning it against the Constitution, turning it against the duly elected presidents, trying to control the president. And they have. Until 2016, and suddenly when the election was rigged for Hillary, you know, there's Bill and Hillabell. It was rigged for Hillary, and she was shocked that God saw to it that Donald Trump was elected. 45th president, and Isaiah 45 talks about Cyrus. And we talked about that, how Donald J. Trump, a Cyrus-like figure, and Cyrus made a decree for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and have their temple be rebuilt. And he was a friend to Israel. He was a friend to those that believed in the Messiah. And Donald J. Trump was a pro-Christian president and a pro-Israel president that got the embassy back in Israel, in Jerusalem, the U.S. embassy, put it there and recognized it as the capital. First president to do that, you see, to put an embassy there. And Donald J. Trump did. And the globalists hated it. Satan hated it. And why? How he was opposed. And just like in Psalm 126, there was such a joy after captivity. We had such a joy after President Trump was elected because we knew that God raised him up to be pro-Christian and pro-Israel. And what a blessing and opportunity that was for our church. And we knew it happened after 8 years of a president that was pro-globalist, right, anti-Israel, anti-Christian, and who delighted to say we're no longer a Christian nation, and put the lights of the homosexual crowd on the White House to celebrate when the Supreme Court said, we now sanction in all 50 states homo marriages. What an abomination! And when God raised up that president, we rejoiced in freedom from captivity. But just like when Israel was freed up from Babylonian captivity, they faced opposition in the promised land. Just like when Israel came out of Egypt and went to go in under Joshua into the promised land, they had to face the giants. And just because God raised up Donald J. Trump does not mean that there was not opposition. They tried to impeach him once. They tried to do it twice. Now they're trying to arrest him. They're trying to sue him out of everything. They're doing everything they can to keep him off the ballot. They're trying to do everything. What is that? It's Satan! And he's trying to stop a pro-Israel, pro-Christian president who will give the opportunities and the freedoms that our Constitution's already given us to do the work that God has called us to do. And then we talked this morning about how the Lord delivered our church out of a captivity of sorts in 2017, where the pastor was on a sabbatical out of the pulpit for 9 months. And our church, thank God for a godly remnant that stood their ground and was faithful and hoped in God and trusted in God. And at the end of that year, God restored the head coach pastor back to lead God's team to be a championship team. And we saw that and how we rejoiced in that. But we've had opposition since that, but God has helped us to overcome that opposition. And now we're in the third great wave of growth since we got back to the King James Bible. The third great wave of growth. The first time in 7 years we're back to three buses and going forward for the Lord. And we said, listen, though the globalists have stolen election from Donald J. Trump, God let it happen. You say, Pastor, God let it happen? Yeah, God let it happen, and he has a reason for that. Now, I'll talk about that in the message, but I want to continue and look tonight at from your captivity to your productivity. That's what God wants. Not just for you to tread water and survive until the rapture, but no, to thrive and to revive and to go forth and be productive. And so we want to look at part two, not only by your past seeing it, but by your present seeking of it. And so we look back to the past divine deliverances from captivity. That should prompt you to the present prayers to be productive. And look at verse 4 of Psalm 126. It says, turn again, that's a prayer, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. So what's happening here? Israel has been freed from Babylonian captivity. The decree of Cyrus did that. And he gave them money. And he gave them legal sanction to go back and rebuild the temple. To go back to the land. Only 50,000 out of millions of Jews saw it. But thank God they saw it. And they rejoiced in it. And they went back. I hope you're like them. And that you see the opportunities. And that you are going forward for the Lord. And yes, they had opposition, but they knew God was helping them, you see. And so they went back, and then there was a present seeking of God to turn their captivity. You say, well, they're already freed them from captivity. Yeah, but when they got back to the land, what made them cry out for a restoration resulting from their captivity? What was it that they encountered? One of the men that made them cry out. Brother Kyle.
The desolation of the land.
Amen. The desolation of the land. It was a mess. The ground was fallow, overgrown with weeds. The beautiful farms were torn apart. They were destroyed. There was no crops in the promised land. The land that flowed with milk and honey was desolate. And it made them cry out, Lord, turn again our captivity. In other words, you freed us legally, but we need to have a restoration of the land after captivity. And the temple was burned and destroyed. We need to rebuild the temple. The walls around Jerusalem were gone. The walls represented separation from the world. We need to restore that. And boy, how we see that in America today. Oh, we see it. We see it. And God may give us a president. And I believe he will. I believe in answer to prayer, Trump is coming back. But still we see the land in the desolation from the globalists, the desolation from the devil and from sin. And what a mess the land is in. And so that explains how they were seeking a change in the land. And let me say this, it always takes time to clean up, to plow, and to plant, and it takes patience before you get a harvest. Amen? Thank God that He blessed us and freed us as a church from captivity. He gave us an opportunity to rebuild, but it has taken time, about 7 years. And now we're at that point. And thank God for those of you that have had patience. Thank God for those of you that have stayed with it and have gone through the doors of opportunity and have clicked around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. Because what good is leadership if there's not fellowship? What good is leadership if people aren't willing to play their part on the team and to stay with it patiently? And I encourage you now, stick with it. Have patience, because very soon you're going to see. In fact, we're already seeing great things take place. And by the way, in our nation, after the victory of the election of President Trump in 2016, we see the challenges because of the O'Biden globalist coup. And you know what that means to me, and I believe biblically what that means is, when God does something, hard hearts oppose it. And I call your attention to Israel, and when God raised up Moses, and God brought down the wonderful plagues and judged the Egyptians, Pharaoh kept fighting it, Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. And what happened? God just broke him, killed the firstborn because they wouldn't have a Passover lamb and they wouldn't believe God. And God killed Pharaoh's firstborn and the firstborn of all those through the land. Their homes weren't covered by the blood of the lamb. And the death angel killed them. And that was it. I mean, Pharaoh said, go, get out of here. Leave us alone. And the people said, go. And the Jews went. But do you know what the Bible says? That God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You say, why? Because he already hardened his heart. So God hardened it even more. And it was interesting, after the anointed by God president was raised up in 2016, after that happened, the globalist hearts were hardened. and they have come against this man. The amazing and glorious thing is that's like a bush that was burning that Moses saw. And the thing was not amazing that there was a burning bush. Moses saw that before. You know what amazed Moses? The bush didn't burn up.
Yep.
By the way, after everything happened to Israel, it is not going to burn up. I don't care who's against Israel, I'm for Israel. I don't care who's against Zionism, I'm for Zionism. Because it's God's bush. And likewise, one of the reasons I'm for Trump is the stinking world system's against him. He must be a blessing from God. And so, you know what? Everything they throw, but he's still going. And notice the more they hit him, the more poll numbers go up. What does that tell you? Somebody's helping that boy. Somebody bigger than you and I. And so I'm just saying, we see what's going on and the hardening of the hearts. And that just tells me when Pharaoh's heart was hardened, what did he do? He kept coming after Israel. He wouldn't stop pursuing Israel. He wanted to get them. I'm going to get you. And what happened? God got him. Because he wouldn't give up. Now he went right into the Red Sea when God opened it for Israel. And Israel came up on the other side and boom, God dropped that sea on Pharaoh. I believe there very well may be coming a day when God's going to drop the hammer on the UN globalist cabal. I know it's going to happen. When Jesus comes back, we know. But he may very well answer the prayers of God's people and do a mini preview of coming attractions and drop it down and give us an opportunity to go forward in this land that is such a mess after captivity, after God judges the systems of evil over this land. You know, I can't help but be amazed at what's going on in Texas right now. You know, the wicked captivity that still tries to keep its grasp upon this nation after God raised up an anointed president. They're still trying, and it's so bad that down there in Texas, the governor of Texas said, we have more people coming across the border. I'm talking about Chinese. I'm talking about radical Islamists. I'm talking about gangs. I'm talking about all kinds of people that want to destroy the United States and the people of the United States. He said, we've got so many people. There is as much as the population of a state coming across. He said, we have to stop it. According to the Constitution of the United States, we have to stop. He declared it an invasion. And he said, we have to stop it. And we're putting up all this barbed wire. And it was working. So much so that the old Biden administration, the globalist puppets, went to the Supreme Court. And it makes you wonder if they've got some corrupt money corrupting the justices. And the Supreme Court said, the federal government can come in and cut your barbed wire that you put up to stop the invasion. And they had Amy Coney Barrett and Roberts, who we've seen before, vote with the liberal, socialist, globalist on the court. And what a sad thing that was. But you know what was so encouraging? Governor Abbott said, he listened to the patriots. He listened to the pressure from the patriots of the United States. And he said, I am going to build more barbed wire. And we're going to put the Texas National Guard up there and defend the border. And he's doing it. And what are the globalists and liberals doing to the Biden administration? Okay, if you're going to do that, we want you to nationalize the guard. And take over the Texas National Guard and make it. And you know what Abbott did? He made every law enforcement official in Texas. He signed a law, just did it. I heard him say it to Tucker Carlson. Signed a law saying every one of those guys can be border guards. And then 25 states joined him. in the United States to side with him against this invasion. And many of them are sending down their own state guards, their own state militias. And you know what Abbott said? He said, if they try to nationalize it, he said, just let them try that. If they do that, he said, all these troops from these different states will line up on the border and defend the border. You know what Donald Trump said? Donald Trump said, when I get president, I'll go down and join Abbott and we'll go with him and send troops to help him. And he said, not only to defend Mexico, but now they're coming across the Canadian border. And he said, we'll defend that border because you got Justin Trudeau there, a globalist, a wicked globalist that is against our country and against the United States. And I'm just saying, thank God for what he's doing. And this is what you and I should be presently seeking. I cannot understand these quote-unquote Christians that are fighting against this that I'm talking to you about. I think they're clouded in the cabasis. There's something wrong there when they can't see God's provision and can't understand it. So I'm just saying, well, this is a blessing. And if we're going to do what it says in verse 4, let me read it again. It says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. In other words, we want to do something. And we are presently seeking this to happen. Thank God that the men that pray in Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting have been praying for this. Thank God that after the election was stolen 2020, we as a church had a time to pray and to fast and to say, Lord, turn our captivity. You've already raised up your anointed president. Now turn the captivity. Deal with these people. And we've been praying that, and we've not stopped praying that. I remember we prayed and we fasted for a number of weeks on a Monday night. Remember that, Brother Bob? How many weeks? I don't remember, but we did it for a number of weeks. And finally, I got to the point, I said, okay, we can stop that prayer meeting. God's already heard our prayer. God's already heard our prayer. And I believe that. And we're just waiting for it to manifest itself in the natural. And the globalists have all kinds of things planned for 2024. It may be turning off the lights, the power grid going down. It may be an Ebola thing that they already brought into Colorado, and they're giving Ebola jabs in Colorado and spreading that around. They got all kinds of things planned. But you know what? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. There is power in prayer. Turn our captivity. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Remember the Alamo. Remember the Alamo in Texas. After Texas was freed from Mexico, Texas was under Mexico. And Texas declared independence. Just like we did from Britain, Texas said, we declare independence from Mexico. And what did Mexico do? They sent thousands of troops under a great general called Santa Anna. And he went and invaded Texas. Texas didn't have the forces under Sam Houston to stop it. They weren't ready. They had to get ready. But Davy Crockett came down, Jim Bowie came down, Travis came down, some men came down, just a couple hundred men, and they got into a mission called the Alamo. I've been in the Alamo more than once. How many have been to the Alamo? Not many of you. But I've been there. It's a great trip. And those men held off Santa Ana's army of thousands for days until finally they were overrun. And you know what happened? Every one of them was killed. Every one of those brave heroes was killed. But after Santa Ana overran it, there was a cry through Texas, remember the Alamo. And the army of Texas rallied around that and defeated Santa Ana and defeated the Mexicans. And the Republic of Texas became an independent country. They could choose to unite with the United States or not. They chose to unite with the United States because of the Constitution. But even the Constitution says when tyrants take over, it's time to declare independence. Thank God for Texas. Thank God. Remember the Alamo tonight. And thank God for what's going on. You need to pray for our country during these days and to pray for captivity to produce productivity because of your past sight of it and because of your present seeking of it. And we need to do it in the church. We need to do it in the church. And that reminds me of the next verse. Not only captivity to productivity because of your past sight of it, your present seeking of it, but finally, because of your promised future of it. Look at verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 126. It says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, how did they respond to the land once they got back there? They went out and started to sow seed in the land. And as they went out there, they began to cry because it was so sad what had happened to the land. But nevertheless, they sowed seed. And you know what? You and I, we may cry about America. We may feel bad about America. We may feel bad about Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. And Brother Z was telling me the gang violence that he's seeing on his bus route. And we have seen it. A lot of it's because of the immigration. These gangs are coming in. They're influencing other gangs. And we hear shootings going on. What's the answer? Sow the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Right. That's what we need to be doing. And we have the opportunity. What are you going to do as you see that we've been brought back from captivity? Are you going to go for productivity? Well, then that means that you need to go out and do something for God. Thank God for the Thursday night crowd. And I told our Thursday night crowd when they came, I said, you need to recognize that you need to bring a recruit and train that recruit to give the gospel. I said, because Thursday night is training night. And God wants us to train new recruits because we need them, because the enemy is fighting us. But I said, every day you can give the gospel. You have opportunity. You're trained. Are you going to do your part to give the gospel? And each one can do their part. And that's what it says. He that goeth forth and weepeth. People say, well, I'll pray, and if God gives me a burden, I'll do something. That's not what it says here. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. You want a burden, go out there with the gospel. And, you know, I think of Jack Hiles, who built the great First Baptist Church in the Chicagoland area. He loved Texas. He lived in Texas. His churches were in Texas. He didn't want to go north. He didn't want to go to Chicago. But God called him. And you know what happened when he went up there? He started driving through the ghettos of Chicago and saw all these poor kids and all these broken homes and all this mess in Chicago, in the land that God had called him to. And tears started coming down his eyes. And he determined that he would start a bus ministry and reach into the ghettos of Chicago. And the rest, my friends, is history. And we have that opportunity, but you need to go forth first and then get the burden and go forth with the gospel and sow the word of God into our land that God has called us to up here in the North Country. And thank God for those that came out Thursday night. Thank God for those that are bringing people with them to train them, because you need to train new people to give that gospel and to go forth. And I want to share with you the promise if you'll be obedient. Here's what God promises us. Look at verse 5 and 6 again. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall what? Doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God said, listen, if you go, I promise I will give you sheaves. I'll promise I'll give you harvest. And you know what? It's a promise of God. But in order to see that promise, we have to go. We have to give the gospel. We have to bear that precious seed and sow it. And as we do that with a burden, God promises that we'll come again. You know, Jesus put it this way. He said, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. He said, it's out there. He said, you can bring it in. He said, but there's one problem, and I'll tell you what the problem is. He said, the laborers are few. We could have a big church picnic, a lot of people will come.
Right.
We could have a big church dinner, a lot of people will come. We could have a big giveaway, a lot of people will come. But how about on soul winning night? Thank God they're coming. Thank God they're coming to our soul winning night. And I believe that's a wonderful thing because the laborers are few. And those that stick with it are few. But if you'll do it and if you'll stick with it, you will see a tremendous harvest. And we could save America. I believe that. We could be like the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. And you know what? I think about what the Bible says in the early church. Jesus said, before he went to heaven, he said, you should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That goes for this local church. If it was true of the Jerusalem church, it's for this church. And that goes for you. And you say, well, what does that mean? What is our Jerusalem, Pastor? I believe God has shown me. It's from Tunkhannock to Moscow, from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. Thank God we got bus route in Carbondale. Thank God people are being saved up in Carbondale. More people are coming from Carbondale and Peckville and Oliphant and Einan. They're coming, beloved, from that area. And now we've started two bus routes, splitting a bus route to get farther down toward Wilkes-Barre. And Brother Z said, you know, I'll get a van if need be, and we'll start into Wilkes-Barre to augment what we're doing and reaching down there. People say, well, Pastor, how are we going to reach Tunkhannock, you know, way out there? I go there for candy every week. I bring boxes of candy there every week and put them in businesses, all in Tunkhannock. I have people open doors. They'll take it. You know what, God? You pray for me. I'm giving the gospel more up in Tunkhannock. I'm going to give tracts out in Tunkhannock. I'm going to lead people to the Lord in Tunkhannock. And I'm saying they'll come from the east and from the west and from the north. You say, how do you know? He says you'll doubtless come again with rejoicing. Bringing your sheaves with you. You know why a lot of churches are not rejoicing and they're not happy? Because they're not bringing new people with them. They're not bringing people to Christ. And they're not seeing people get saved. And so I believe that God has given us the opportunity of a promised future to go from captivity to productivity. And you tonight are in a historic time. Don't miss this. I've been here 46 years. This is a historic time. You know what's sad? When somebody reaches a historic moment and they're too tired to go in and do it. I'm not like that. By the grace of God, Caleb was not like that. Joshua was not like that. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of the disobedience. But yet, when it was time to go into the promised land, Caleb, at 85 years old, said, now, therefore, give me that mountain. And he went and took that mountain. I believe God is calling some people. You might think you're too old. You're not older than me, so don't give me that baloney. You might think you're too old to go in, my friend. And I'm telling you, God will rejuvenate you. I'm telling you, God will revive you. God will stir you up. And I believe he's calling us to go, listen to me, from captivity in 2017 to productivity in 2024. May God help you to be part of that. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about from captivity.